This phrase right here, with great power, I think in a lot of your minds, you've already guessed where we're going to be going for an illustration here. So I think in some ways it might be fortunate that the kids are going to get to be in here. I am going to talk about Spider-Man, okay, if you didn't notice that. Now, I love Spider-Man as a character. He is my favorite superhero, and I think one of his most endearing qualities is how he is called a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Because in the same universe where you will have some heroes with powers to destroy planets and eat suns, you've got some guy who really just wants to help people. Spider-Man is not usually the hero to save the world. In fact, Spider-Man is the kind of hero who is so humble to say, I'll help this old lady cross the street. Iron Man might be flying around and see, oh, that lady got her purse stolen. The police will take care of that. But Spider-Man thinks, that's someone in need. I'm going to go help them. And I think that makes him very likable. I would dare say he's one of the most popular characters in literature, because everybody can appreciate how generous and kind and humble he is to just want to help people. Now, Spider-Man's motivating, his motto, or the phrase that gives him this impetus to become a hero, is with great power comes great responsibility. And he uses this to motivate himself to say, I have the power to help people. So if I see someone who needs help, it is now my responsibility to help them. If I do not help them, I am failing my responsibility because I have the power to do something here. Now, if you don't remember the scripture reading earlier, it was James 4:17, which reads, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, I think that kind of sounds like with great power comes great responsibility. See, we as Christians, we know a lot about the right thing to do. God has empowered us through his word that we now know what is right, how we can help people. And it is such a responsibility for us to act on this that to choose to do nothing is sin. Now, this is just going to be my favorite sermon. I'm talking about my favorite hero. James is my favorite book. James 4:17 is my favorite verse. But James, through his book, encourages readers to action. He says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Go, act, do things. Don't let your faith die because you're not doing anything. No, your faith needs works to be alive. And he builds up, and here he finally switches it to where now he says, it's not just I'm motivating you to act because that's the right thing to do, but now if you are burdened with the knowledge of the right thing to do, choosing inaction is sin. And we're going to be responsible for answering to God when we were in a situation to say, I know what I should do here, but I'm just going to let it play out. I'll just let it stay how it's going. I don't want to rock the boat here. Even though I think I should do this, I've got this feeling on my conscience that I should say something here, that I should do something here. James has cursed us by giving us the knowledge that we have to act. Maybe before you hadn't heard this verse, and we could have used ignorance as an excuse. Unfortunately, that excuse will no longer work for any of us in this room. Now, we've learned from God's word, if we know the right thing to do, we have to act, or else we're going to have to answer to God for why we chose to do nothing. So we have to choose to do the right thing. We have to choose to do good. And now that I've put this in the air for us, knowing that when we're informed of what the right thing to do is, that we have to do it, I'm going to capitalize on this, take us to another passage, and we're going to see what is the right thing to do, and we're all going to feel very motivated to do it. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 1, and this is going to be where we're going to spend most of the lesson this morning. But Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read the whole passage here, and then we're going to go back and talk about it in sections. But Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, Paul writes here, "I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" So we're going to learn what the right thing to do here is. Going off of what Paul says first, he says, "I am obligated." He says, "I'm under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, the wise, the foolish, the young, the old, the rich, the poor." He's saying, "I'm obligated to everyone to share the gospel." All of these points tie back to his conclusion in verse 16, where he speaks of the gospel saying, "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The gospel, this message from God's word, this is the power of God to salvation, not just for me. It's not just the power of God to salvation for those of us in the church today. It's not the power of God to salvation for everyone who's a member of Canyon View. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now, Paul says this to say there's somebody out there who hasn't heard this message that has the power to save them. This message that I know very well. So now I'm obligated to share this with them. Now, Paul was one who genuinely felt obligated to share this message, I think, with every person he passed by. I don't think Paul could go to the supermarket and withhold sharing the gospel to someone that he sparked a conversation with. Now, maybe, you know, just after a lesson today, we're not going to completely flip and now I'm going to be so ready to share the gospel with every single person in my life. But we should. We are obligated. There are people in our lives who do not know that this book gives them salvation. This book is the power of God to salvation for my neighbor. This book is the power of God to salvation for my cousin, for my brother, for my aunt, for my coworker. There's people in our lives who don't know that this is the power of God to salvation. And how are they going to know if not us? How are they going to know if not you? If you don't tell that person this is the power of God to salvation, how will they learn? So we are obligated. We are under obligation to share this message with people. And this is not to say that I don't want it to seem like Paul is speaking only of himself here. To say, well, I'm an apostle. The rest of them can stay in Jerusalem. I'm the one that was sent out to all these other countries and cities. So now I'm the one whose job it is to share this gospel message with everybody. And I also don't want it to seem like sharing the gospel message is the obligation of the preacher. Oh, well, sharing the gospel, that's a job for the preacher here. No, Paul is saying that's a job for the Christian. We are all under obligation. Joshua, myself, the elders, we may never come into contact with your neighbor or your coworker or that person in your life who doesn't know the value of the message contained in this book. So that means you are the one who is obligated to share this message with that person. It's your responsibility to share God's power with that individual or with these individuals, because this is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. There's not a limit. It's not that I can share this message with one person and say, I guess I'm done. I did my job. Cross it off. Oh, well, I shared it with 5 people. Isn't that enough? I shared it with 10 people. There's no point that we can stop. We are always under obligation. We are obligated to share this message with those people in our lives. But Paul does continue that as we are to share this with everybody, that we don't get to just pick and choose who gets to know and who doesn't and hope someone else will share it. But in verse 15, Paul goes as far as to say, I am eager to preach the gospel. Eager. Excited. There's supposed to be an attitude of enthusiasm, of joy as we do this. Yes, we are obligated, but it should not seem as a chore. My body says I'm obligated to eat food every once in a while. Doesn't mean I can't like it. We just had Thanksgiving dinner. I'll tell you, I enjoyed that. I was eager to eat that meal, even though my body was telling me, I'm hungry right now. I'm obligated to eat this food, and still, I was able to enjoy it. So yes, we are obligated to share the gospel, but it is not supposed to seem difficult or some horrible task like, oh, I've got to tell somebody about Jesus again. We should feel eager. It should be the same enthusiasm that we have to talk about Jesus that we have when we talk about sports. You know, this is the natural expression of most people going about their day. Just this plain, flat face. And then you say, hey, you see the game yesterday? Oh, yeah, that was so awesome. I couldn't believe they made that catch. Oh, I was so impressed, and it just seems like it flows out like nothing. Oh, hey, did you see the new episode of that show? Oh, I didn't see that twist coming at all. I'm so shocked by it. I can't wait to continue talking about this with you. I'm so excited about the show. I can't wait for the next episode to come out. Hey, what'd you do on Sunday? Oh, I went to church. I got to have a relationship with my God and learn about Jesus, the one who died to pay for my sins. The same Jesus who actually died for you to pay for your sins. See, if you don't know the Bible, you know, there's some good stuff in there. That should be the enthusiasm and the eagerness that we have to speak about Jesus with people. That's how Paul was able to successfully reach so many souls. Because he was combining this obligation with this eagerness. If you're focused on, oh, I have to do it. Oh, I've got to tell somebody and, you know, twist my arm, I guess. Trick me into knowing the right thing to do, and now I have to do it or else it's sin. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable. We call the gospel good news. Why would we not be eager to tell somebody good news? We have a wonderful message contained in this book. We're giving information to somebody so that they can know that they have hope of spending an eternity in heaven instead of the alternative. Why would we not be eager to share this message with somebody? Even if we do feel obligated, it should be joyous to do so. But as Paul balances feeling obligated and feeling eager to share the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, in verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." I think feeling shame or feeling embarrassed about the gospel is all too easy to slip into. Because sometimes we'll feel that tickle in our conscience. I should say something. I should let this person know. But then I'm going to look weird. Or they're going to think differently of me. What if we don't have the same relationship that we had before I bring this up? Sometimes we feel ashamed of the gospel, embarrassed by it, like we have to hide it. Oh, I'm busy on Sunday. Yeah, it happens. Another time, I guess. Oh, no, I don't really like going to those kinds of parties. Oh, that's just not my thing. It's just like a personal preference. Well, actually, you know, it's my God. He's the one that makes me want to act this way. You know, I was busy on Sunday because it was church. And I always make sure I have time to go to church. But we feel ashamed or embarrassed to bring up the gospel. But Paul is saying there's no reason to feel ashamed to bring up the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Why would you feel ashamed of that? Why would that not be something you're proud of? You go to somebody and you say, "Hey, look at this picture of my kid getting an award." And that's great. But why can't we say, "Hey, look at this. This is awesome. Hey, look at this new car I got. Isn't it so shiny? I just got it waxed. Looks awesome, right? Oh, I've started this new diet. Really slimmed out. Yeah, jealous? You want to try it for yourself? Huh?" We can feel proud to talk about these things that have changed us, that have improved our lives. Why would we not feel proud to share this? Why would this be something we're embarrassed to bring up? Why would this be something that causes any hesitation for us to communicate with people? After all, this is the power of God to salvation. How much more important is this than our new car, than some hobby we just got into? But still, we go and we have these conversations where it's like, "Well, I don't know if I want to bring it up. It's not really the time." And when is? We're obligated, remember? We should feel eager to. Is shame what's getting in our way? Is that the obstacle that we need to overcome to be readily sharing this message with those who are out there? See, Paul explains with these three statements about himself that we can apply to us as Christians, that he's feeling this obligation to share the gospel, that he's eager to share the gospel, and that he's not ashamed to share the gospel because he knows the gospel has the power to save them. So as we're seeing, well, this is what Paul is saying. This is the truth of the gospel. If this is what we know about the gospel, I'm going to tell you what the right thing to do is here. All right, if you want to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 here, Paul speaking again says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." If we know that the message, the gospel message contained in this word, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, we should feel obligated to share it. We should feel eager to share it. We should not be ashamed to share it. So the right thing to do is preach the word. We know, if I know this word has the power to save my coworker, the power of God that can save my coworker, it's my responsibility to share it with them. That's the right thing to do. Now, if I say, you know, I'm not going to do it, then when God comes to judge the living and the dead, I have to answer for that decision. And God's going to say, why didn't you preach the word to that person that you thought about it? You were aware of that moment, and you decided not to tell them about the gospel. And do I have to say, well, God, I didn't really feel obligated to? No, that excuse won't work. Well, God, I just wasn't really feeling it, the enthusiasm. I wasn't eager to. Why? Do you not remember what you were just reading in that book? Why is this not something you'd be eager to say? Do I have to say, well, God, I was just ashamed to bring it up? These excuses won't work for us anymore. We know the right thing to do. God tells us, preach the word. We're obligated. We should be eager, and we should not be ashamed. So what could be stopping us? Nothing should anymore. Unfortunately, we're all motivated now to action. We've been cursed with this knowledge. Now the real hammer on this message is probably the fact that this whole lesson, talking about sharing the gospel with those in our lives, I would bet you're thinking of somebody. I would think it's likely someone has already popped into your head more than once. And you've been thinking about this person as we talk about the significance of sharing the gospel. And if that's the only person that popped into your head that you feel obligated to share the message with, then share that message. Because someone has popped into your head. You're thinking, so-and-so needs to hear this message. I should tell this to them. Then don't feel ashamed. Feel eager. Get excited. Get motivated. Because if every single one of us, myself included, Joshua included, the elders included, if all of us took this one person in our head that we've been thinking of, and we say, I'm going to share the message with this person. If every single one of us shared that message this week, and each one of those people just decided, I'll come check out the church, next Sunday, there'd be twice as many of us. That's how quickly the church can grow when we truly feel obligated, when we're genuinely eager, when we're not ashamed of this gospel, of the power that it has, and the responsibility that we have to share it. Now, Joshua, he's not going to brag about himself, but he's the preacher of this church, and he gets up here every week trying to motivate us to continue to grow in our faith. And throughout the week, he is involved in over 5 ministry opportunities where he has a chance to evangelize with people. Over 5. I can't keep track. And every week he gets up here worried that he's not doing enough. I know for a fact Joshua is one who feels obligated to share this message. I know he is eager, and I really know he is not ashamed. And he is our preacher. He is an example for us, the same way Paul is an example for us, that we can be out there sharing this message. If Spider-Man is what's going to get the kids to listen to this message, if the parents are listening to this and they understand the point, if any one of us sitting in these chairs can stop and think for a moment, am I obligated? Am I eager? Am I ashamed of the gospel? What is stopping me? But there's someone in our lives that we can share this message we should not be shy about. We can share this message. We can share this truth. Could you take us to the last slide? See, it's not our power that gives us the responsibility. It's God's power. And we know God's power. I know we know it because I just made sure I clarified it. In case we didn't know, now ignorance isn't an excuse for us. We know God's great power. We know the power contained in this book, the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, our neighbor, our coworker, that person we've been thinking of. So now we have this great responsibility. And I don't say great for our responsibility to mean that it's large, but that it's good. It's great. It's wonderful that we have this responsibility to be the one to share this wonderful message with these people in our lives. I don't know if anyone in this building today is going to be the next Mike Mazzalongo to go preach to millions out there in the world. But maybe everyone in this church building today can be that friendly neighborhood Christian that can share that gospel message with those in need in their lives. If I can share the message with the people who need it in my life, and each of us share the gospel message with those who need it in our lives, then as a church, we can reach the world. So as we have knowledge of God's great power, and as we are now burdened with the knowledge of our great responsibility, I'm going to challenge us, that person you've been thinking of, try to say something to them. You don't have to invite them to church. We've got Winter Wonderland this week. You can just have some kind of personal study. Maybe just open the door to them. But find some way to share this message with even just one person this week. That's going to be our responsibility, and that's our challenge for this week here. Now, at this time here, I'm going to conclude the lesson, and I'm going to offer this invitation that if you are in the audience and you feel motivated to take this step of baptism, to commit yourself to God, and to have this responsibility of being a Christian in this world, feel free to come forward. And we also have this invitation open to any who have something on their hearts they wish to say, to speak with myself or the elders who will come up. So I extend this invitation now as we stand and as we sing.